Do's and Don'ts for the Faithful, Epistle of Jude. Selected text, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, Jude 1. Thus does Jude identify himself. He was an apostle and possibly the half-brother of Jesus. Jude set forth to write a letter of encouragement to the consecrated and sanctified by God and Jesus Christ about our common salvation. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Evidently, the letter was to be a general exhortation, similar in content to 2 Peter 1:2-8, which emphasizes giving all diligence to the spiritual life in every facet pleasing to God. Jude abruptly changes the theme of his letter, seeing something diabolical developing. Certain men, ungodly, began to infiltrate the church, unaware at first of the true saints. Jude says they turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness, Jude 4. That moves Jude to be impassioned in his warnings. He exhorts us to earnestly contend, though not to be earnestly contentious, for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints, verse 3. In Romans 6:1, Paul similarly asks, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And declares, God forbid. Jude gives three sins to help identify wolves in sheep's clothing: faithless rebellion, impetuous disobedience, and unbounded lust. Even after leading Israel out of Egypt, the people did not trust God to provide all their necessities for which they clamored, Numbers 14 and Psalm 95:11. Before the flood, angels rashly materialized to take women and generate children, violent children, Genesis 6, 1 through 4 and 11, and 2 Peter 2, 4. Sodom and her sister cities freely committed fornication and lusted even for animals, hence the word sodomy, and angels, Genesis 19, 2 Peter 2, 6 through 8. So let us take heed to ourselves today. Believe the word of God and live it. The Lord's people must avoid violence and oppression of others. Every Christian must flee sexual lusts, both natural and unnatural. Jude 8 and 10 associate immorality with rebellion and accusation against honorable Christians. Verse 8 explains the reason for their ungodly, evil, loathsome course. These all despise dominion. These are so arrogant, their mindset is, no one tells me what to do. That was not the attitude of Jesus, and it is an attitude that the faithful church must uproot. Verse 9 declares, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. How did Jude know the facts of this verse? In Zechariah 3:2, here is a dispute between the Lord and Satan, as Joshua, chosen in parabolic form to be the high priest, clothed in filthy garments. Satan accuses the nation, shown in the filthy garments of Joshua, as unfit for God's use. God rebuked him, and Joshua was clothed with clean garments. In parables, the thing stated represents the thing meant. In this figure, Joshua represents Israel. Moses represents the body of Israel at the baptism of water into the cloud and the sea. Satan wanted the body of Moses, Israel, pointing to their unbelief as filthy garments. In response, Michael said merely, the Lord rebuke thee. God had great plans for Israel. Satan knew this and wanted to thwart God's plan. Reference to Cain, Balaam, and Korah is to warn against jealousy, greed, and ecclesiastical ambition, respectively. Such tares are hidden rocks in love feasts that will break your spiritual teeth. Clouds without water who offer a pretension of blessing but with nothing to show for it. To be twice dead, plucked up by the roots, implies they are liable to second death, without hope of resurrection, etc. Cain did not seek God for his counsel as to the proper sacrifice, but used his own way, headstrong. Surely his father Adam had told him about the sanctity of an animal sacrifice. When Abel's sacrifice was accepted and his was not, Cain became extremely jealous. As jealousy broods and festers, it produces murder, as it did in this case. We too must be on guard against this evil. This may be one of the things Jude is warning against, especially as new ones are welcomed into our fellowship. Others arise from within. As Paul warned the elders of Ephesus, "I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them." Acts 20:29. Next, Jude mentions Balaam, who for the sake of reward ignored God's warning and followed a course opposed to God's counsel. We who know God's will in the matters of his truth must have no part in seeking monetary wealth, especially from an impure source. The third example is Korah, a Levite, who gathered men together to defy Moses' leadership, declaring themselves all holy and that Moses had no right to lift himself up. The Lord showed their error by opening up the earth to swallow up Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and their families, and consumed their 250 allies by fire. Numbers 16:1-35. This Jude calls speaking evil of dignities. Let us never be found to speak against one whom God has called. This error has already crept into some of our churches. Enoch's prophecy. Quoting Enoch, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds." Christ is to come in glory with his 144,000 saints. The convincing or rebuking is for the benefit of those who are now sinning, as the day of judgment is to be their times of restoration of all things. But sinners must first recognize their sins and sinfulness in order to learn righteousness. Each of us is to recognize there will sometimes be sensual people among us. In spite of that, we are to pray and to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. While we look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, we must also learn to practice mercy. "On some have mercy who are in doubt, and some save, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Jude 22:23. There are three cases given. 1, we must have mercy on those who are struggling with temptation. 2, whenever possible, when a brother or sister in Christ is about to sin, help them overcome. And 3, when one has already sinned, we must nevertheless have mercy, but with fear, lest thou also be tempted, yet sorrowing that the brother has spotted his robe and needs the fuller soap. Let all be done to the glory of God. Jude 25.